The question is, why did Avraham deserve the agony of the Akedah? So in order to get the answer, we have to check. We have to look what happened right before the Akedah. The Rashbam points out the Smichas HaParshias. Before the Akedah, it says that Avraham Avinu made a roadmap or an Oslo agreement with the king of the Palestinians. Isn't that incredible? Right before the Akedah, it says Avraham made a treaty with Avimelech, the king of the Palestinians. Now he's called Arafat or Abu Mamzer. Then he was called Avimelech. So because he did this, Vahi Achar Advar Me'eled says, after these things, God tested Abraham. After what things? After what things did God test Abraham? So the Rashbam says, exactly what took place before the Akedah was the bris. Abraham made a treaty with Avimelech, giving Avimelech rights to Eretz Yisrael. Oslo won 3,800 years ago. So right after that, Velehim Nisat Avraham, right after that, God tested Abraham. Says the Rashbam, this was an onesh. I promised you the land of Israel to you and your children. What right do you have to give part of the promised land to Avimelech? So maybe you don't want the son. Maybe you don't need him. Take him and kill him. So the Rashbam says something amazing, that the Akedah was an onesh, that Avraham made a peace treaty with Avimelech, the pasuk right before the Akedah, and right after that, after these things, God tested Avraham. So the Rashbam was like prophetic. He says, whenever we give away land, our precious land, to our enemies, that leads to an Akedah. What does the Akedah mean? Blood, fire, smoke. That's the Akedah. What's a sacrifice? Blood, smoke, and fire. That's exactly what happens when we give away our holy land to our enemies. Blood, smoke, and fire. So it's just amazing how all the answers are in the Torah. If only our fearless leaders would read the Torah, how much Jewish blood could have been saved? How many Akedahs could have been saved? Yiddis Phyllis, how many Akedahs could have been saved if we just study the Parsha? We forget, we think that the Parsha is a story. It's not ancient history. It's God's authorized manual for living in the here and now. And we ignore that lesson at our own peril. Says the Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, 1,000 years ago, when we make deals to give our precious land to our enemies in Israel, it leads Le'aleinu to Akedahs. Akedahs means Le'aleinu, blood, smoke, fire, being burned alive, Le'aleinu. And we see how many Jews lost their lives in Akedahs because of the peace treaty with Avimelech, alias Arafat. How many Jews lost their lives? Abraham had no precedent. At least we had a precedent to learn from. And we keep making the same mistakes again and again. And we ignore again the parsha at our own peril. So God tells him, Lech Lecha, take your son, the Lech Lecha. That's what it says. What does Lech Lecha mean? Lech Lecha. Go to yourself. Now the parsha, the week before, said Lech Lecha. Leave your country and go to Eretz Yisrael. Here the Torah uses the same word again, Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha Eretz HaMoriah. Take your son to Mount Moriah. Why is Temple Mount called Eretz HaMoriah, Mount Moriah? Rashi says, why is Temple Mount called Mount Moriah? Moriah from the word moor. What's moor? Chanel number 5, musk. There were 11 herbs and spices in the incense that was burned twice a day, including Shabbos. There were 11 herbs and spices. What was the strongest, sweetest smell? Myrrh. So Unkele says it's called Eretz HaMoriah. Temple Mount is called Eretz HaMoriah. Says Unkele, Al Shem Avodas HaKetoris, Sheyesh Boy Myrrh. Mount Moriah, the mountain of the musk. Or we would say Chanel, or what? Charlie? Charlie, whatever. What? Mount Moriah, the mountain of the bosem, of the perfume, even though 11 herbs and spices, the strongest smell was the delicious, sweet smell of more. So take him there. So God says, Lech Lecha. Why does God use the same language that he used when he told Abraham to make Aliyah? When he told Abraham to make Aliyah, he also says, Lech Lecha. And here again, he says, Lech Lecha. Take your son, Lech Lecha, and go to yourself. Why does God use the same language? Many people think that Aliyah ends at Ben-Gurion Airport. Aliyah doesn't end at Ben-Gurion Airport. It only begins there. It's an ongoing journey. Lech Lecha. I told you Lech Lecha to make Aliyah, but Aliyah doesn't stop at Ben-Gurion or at the Mishrad HaKlita. Lech Lecha. It's an ongoing journey to find yourself in Eretz Yisrael. A person has to not rest on his laurels, but he has to continue to progress spiritually on his quest for spirituality, an ongoing process. And therefore, God uses again the language, V'lech lecha. Continue to go to yourself, because the hardships of Eretz Yisrael, which Abraham Avinu faced many, that is a way to find yourself. Because only when the going gets tough, do the tough go shopping. No. Only when the going gets tough, do the tough get going. So it's dafka through the trials and tribulations that we suffer in Eretz Yisrael, then it's lech lecha. Because we never grow from our easy situations. We only grow from difficult ones, growing pains. And v'lech lecha, continue to go to yourself by going through the agony of the Akedah. So even though it's a punishment, we call it a punishment. God looks at it as growing pains. So Abraham had to go through this because of his mistake with Abimelech, but it's never a punishment. From vindictiveness, it's always an experience that a person can grow from if he chooses to, and therefore God uses the word lech lecha, go to find yourself. Now he tells him, go take your son and kill him. Nechama, wait a minute. One of the seven Noahide laws that Abraham practiced, that Noah practiced, against murder. Right. So how could God say, take him and make him a burnt offering? Murder is against the Noahide religion. Rashi makes an amazing comment. Rashi says, God actually never said to kill him. God says, Haleu sham la'ola, bring him up there. God says, I didn't want you to, after the test, you know, he said, I didn't want you to kill him, just bring him up and then what? And take him down. But Abraham understood as ola, as, you know, what do you do with a carbon? You shecht it first. So how was Abraham willing to commit murder, especially his own son? Isn't that against the Noahide religion? Abraham was a righteous Gentile. I keep the seven, go to heaven. How was he ready to commit murder? That's a very stark akasha that we have to deal with. That's a strong question. The answer is, what?
It wasn't murder, it was a command from Hashem.
So what? It's still murder.
But
isn't God contradicting himself? Because who gave the Noahide religion? God himself. And one of the seven Noahide laws that God gave to Noah was murder. Don't commit murder. Here God is telling him to commit murder.
But he knew he wasn't going to make it murder. Right?
God knew, but Abraham was prepared to commit murder.
Right.
So how is Abraham willing to commit murder knowing it's against the Noahide religion? That's what we have to deal with. Huh?
God commanded, exactly. That was
he followed all the commands.
So that it was his test.
It's a test, but Abram didn't know it's a test. Abram thought it's for real. If Abram knew it's only a test, it wouldn't count. He thought that God is actually telling him to kill his son. I'm asking, how could a righteous person willing to commit murder?
Because when you're so with God,
but doesn't that contradict what God stands for? Yes,
you're right, it contradicts. But last week, or maybe it was a few weeks ago, I think last week too, you said that a rabbi could even, for emergency situations, rescind the law of the Torah.
Not a rabbi, a navi.
Reuven,
a navi. That's the answer. Navi. If a navi can pull hara'at sha'ah, then God can. A navi, a bona fide navi with a track record, don't try this at home, he can tell someone to commit murder. As long as he stresses it's a temporary one-time deal, as long as a bona fide navi with a resume. If a Navi can do that, then God can certainly do it. So Avram thought that this is Harat Shah. Yes? That's what Avram thought. Go ahead. What?
Ten tests.
Right.
One is Kivshan Ha'esh. So also he tried originally and he was saved from... Well, you remember he was thrown into
fire by Orkastin, but he didn't throw himself in the fire. He was thrown in by Nimrod.
So how could he? He took the test.
What's a test? But to commit Avodah Zarah, if you're forced to worship Avodah Zarah, David, one of the three cardinal sins, he's supposed to give you life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So therefore, Avram had no choice. There, he was thrown in by Nimrod.
I'll give you another answer. Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmid, Divrei Mishaymi.
No.
All right.
But the answer, I think what Reuven said, Harat Shah. Yes, Harat Shah. Yes.
Abraham was very close and he knew. And maybe he thought that Kun should pay and Abel. Adam Shaleva.
What has that got to do with killing his own son? You have to say it's Harat Shah, right, Ariella? Now, interesting, he says, he's walking with two lads. He says, you stand here with the donkey, and we will worship v'noshuva aleichem. V'noshuva aleichem. We will return to you. He's speaking to, who's that, Yishmael and Eliezer, right? They're with the taxis, by the taxi stand. And he says, you guys stand there with the taxi, we are going to worship and we will return to you. Phyllis, he should have said, I will return to you. In his own mind, he was not coming back with Yitzchak. So how come he says, Venoshuva, we will return? Isn't he lying? Because as far as he's concerned, Yitzchak ain't coming back. He should have said, Oshuva lecha. How come he doesn't say, he says, "V'noshuva aleichem." I alone will return. No, he says, "We will return." Why? Not to alarm them. They might call what the men in the white coats if he told them the truth. Why? No, he didn't want to alarm them. So he says, "We don't want to alarm. We will return to you." Yes.
I think in his heart of hearts that he knew that Hashem was really testing him and that it wouldn't really happen.
You're saying very good, but I want to fine tune what you're saying. Why? Yes. Why did he say we? Go ahead.
Hashem promised him that through Isaac he would be blessed in the end.
Right.
He knew that promise was going to be over everything. So maybe.
So if he knew it's a game, then what kind of test is it?
It wasn't a game
for himself.
He had to believe.
He and God would return.
Why did he say we will return? Even though in his own mind he was sure that he's going to kill his son. So the Gemara in Bracha says, "Afilu cherev al tzavarai shel Adam al yityayesh min harachamim." Even when the situation looks hopeless, even when the sword is laying on the neck of a person, never give up hope. Even though in Abraham's mind he was going to kill his son, but hoping against hope, in the back of his mind, he was thinking perhaps at the last minute God will stop him. The message is, a Jew is never permitted to give up hope. Never. Even when things look hopeless, al yitya'esh min harachamim, never. What does Yush mean? Never despair from God's mercy. So even though he was thinking, yes, I'm going to kill my son, but in the back of his mind, perhaps God will relent at the last minute. And therefore he said what? V'noshuva, we will return. Okay? Now, so they walked, both of them, and then Yitzchak says to Avram Aviv, he says, Avi, my father. And he says, yes, my son. What's this conversation? And my father, yes, my son. We know he's your father. We know he's your son. Avi. Remember, you're my father. What are you about to do? You're my father, right? Remember. He says, Bini, yes, you're my son. And yet we have to do this. I remember that that you are my son. But we have to do this because it's a command of Hashem. And then it says, Vayelchu Shneim Yachdav. Even though now Yitzchak understood that he is going to be the Ola, still Vayelchu Shneim Yachdav. They both walked together. What does it mean they both walked together? You'll take the high road, I'll take the low road. What do you mean they both walk together?
One spirit.
No generation gap. Rev says, Rashi, even though Yitzchak understood now that he is the Ola, they went Yachtov, Belev Shaveh. The Torah testified, Belev Shaveh means with one purpose, with one spirit, no generation gap. Father and son walk together with the same purpose, with the same peace of mind, even though Yitzchak now understood that he's going to be the Korban. And that's what the Torah is pointing out over here. Right. Now, who sends him to the Akedah? God. Who stops him? Amalek. Question is why? A bigger question. The Medrash said that for 3 days when he's taking Yitzchak to the Akedah, for 3 days, Satan comes in all sorts of disguises. What are you, out of your mind? Take a pill and lie down. Maybe you're having a bad hair day. Satan comes in all sorts of disguises to stop him. And he's not successful. Now he's on the Mount Moriah. He's about to shecht his son. He hears a malach calling out to him, don't do it. Question, Phyllis. How does he know it's not Satan again? Maybe it's another trick. That's a bumbakasha. More interesting is because God is not stopping him. The malach is stopping him. Maybe it's another Satan's trick. Maybe I shouldn't fall for it. Why does he believe it and he stops? After all, it's not God stopping him, it's a malach. And he sees that it's a malach. How does he know that it's not Satan again up to his wily tricks? Yes?
Too bad. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't say this. I'm just...
Go ahead, yeah.
I remember. Only God can decide to do bad for a person. Humans cannot do bad. They cannot make decisions to say, I saw a seance last week.
Yeah.
Right? I saw B'machaze Chazor.
Right.
Reiti, right. I got a message. Therefore, when Al Tishlach Yadcha El Anar was to do good.
Yeah. Then he knew it's genuine.
It wasn't,
maybe it's another trick.
No, that's...
So let me tell you what the Ramea Shapiro says. From the Masadra of the Daf Yomi, he asked this question. He says, because right after that, Avram saw a ram nechaz besvach bekarnav. Avram saw a ram struggling in the bushes. And Avram went to free the ram, and nechaz means that Abraham had a great struggle to free the ram. Avram was struggling a long time to free the ram, to use the ram as what? As a korban. If it's Satan, if it's instant Kabbalah, then you know it's Satan. If there's a struggle involved and it doesn't come easy, then you know it's God genuine. Hear what Meir Shapiro said? Because the ram was struggling and Abraham was struggling to free the ram, that's how he knew that this is not Satan, that it's God. Because what Satan does, it's instant Kabbalah. Remember Madonna? If things go too easy in spirituality, you know it's Satan. It's a trap. But once he saw the ram struggle, Reuven's Givaldic, and he struggled to free the ram, this made clear to Abraham that it can't be Satan. Lufum tzara agra. According to the pain is the gain. And this answers an interesting question in the parsha that we read yesterday, Penina. It says, how did Eliezer know that she's the right girl? Rashi says he saw the water come up to her.
Right.
So he knew she's the right girl. Right after that, it says she's shepping. How do you say shepping? She's working hard, schwitzing. How do you say shepping? Drawing the water, putting the pitcher down and in the well. Shepping. Shepping.
Gathering.
Bringing a what?
Gathering.
Gathering the water. No, there's a word for it. Lishov. Echad beenglit. Lishov. Draw. She's drawing the water. The pitcher goes down again and up and down and up and down. What's all the schlepping and the schlepping and the lishov? Drawing when the water came up to greet her. Why is she working so hard, little girl? What are you schwitzing for? Rashi said the water came up to greet her. So why is she working so hard to give Eliezer and the men and the camels water? So what's the answer? The water came up to greet her before she did the mitzvah. But once she started doing the mitzvah, all of a sudden the water stopped coming up. Rennie, why that? No pain, no gain. If it comes too easy, you know it's Satan. If it's a mitzvah, you gotta schwitz and work for it. No pain, no gain. Therefore, when she wasn't doing the mitzvah, the water came up to her. But once she started to do the chesed mitzvah, to give water to thirsty people, the great chesed, then no more magic tricks. Then she had a schwitz. How do you say harava in English?
Work hard.
Because lufum tzara agra. No pain, no gain. That's how Avram knew over here that it's the real McCoy. But that doesn't answer the question of why a malach stops him. Why doesn't God come to stop him himself? That's a good tekasha. The answer is, God didn't send the malach to stop him. The Mishnah says in Masechta Avot, chapter 4, that every time you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. How does the Mishnah know that? You know, every statement in the Talmud must have a source in the written Torah. Every statement in the Talmud must have a source in the written Torah. How does the Talmud know that when you do a mitzvah, you create a malach? From here.
That's what I was just going to say.
From here. God didn't send the malach to stop Abraham. No. Once Abraham did the Akedah, presto bingo, the malach came. God didn't send him. That's how the Mishnah knows, Phyllis, when you do a mitzvah, you want, create a malach. That's the Akedah. Then when he offered the ram, you know what it says? Vayikra malach Hashem al Avraham shenit. A second angel called to Avraham. That's what it says. Vayikra malach Hashem al Avraham shenit. A second malach called to Abraham after he sacrificed the ram. Where's the second angel come from? The other mitzvah. The Akedah is one mitzvah. One per customer. Once he did the ram, nocha mitzvah, nocha malach. You hear this, Phyllis? Since he did the tzveta mitzvah, the second mitzvah of the ram, so malach shenis appeared. Not that God sent the malachim, but through every mitzvah you do, you create a malach. That's what the Torah is teaching, and that's how the Mishnah knows that every time you do a mitzvah, you create a malach from here. Nocha mitzvah, nocha malach. Wait a minute. Machshava tova, kushbalcha mitzarev lemaisa. How do I know that? Because at the end it says, "Vayoshev Abraham el Naorav." Abraham returned to the guy standing by the taxi.
Right.
Didn't we forget somebody?
Yeah, Yitzchak.
Where's Yitzchak? It says Abraham returned to the boys. Where's the star of the show? What happened to him? It says, Abraham alone returned. That's what it says. Genesis 22, verse 19. Rennie, mm-hmm. What happened to Yitzchak? Let's get real. What happened to Yitzchak?
Some say he did.
Right. What happened to Yitzchak? Machshava tova kush bocha mitzar v'lamaisa. How do I know that? How do I know if you want to do a mitzvah with all your might, and you're prevented from doing it by circumstances beyond your control? How do you know it's a done deal? Because the Torah says only Abraham returned. Because in God's eyes, it's like Yitzchak Takeh became the carbon. How does the Mishnah know, how does the Talmud know that Machshavah Tova Kishbokum Tzav Lamaisa? Remember we said that every statement Reuben in the Talmud has to have a source in the Chumash. The source is, it says, Vayoshav Abraham. Abraham returned to the taxi. It doesn't say Yitzchak. So the Talmud learns from this. Since Yitzchak wanted to become a carbon, but he was prevented by circumstances beyond his control, in God's mind he became a carbon. What's the proof? It doesn't say that he came back, even though he came back. But God considers it like he never came back. And therefore it says Abraham returned alone. That's how you know Machshava Tova, Kush Vokum Tzav L'maisa. Yes?
Yes, we even say, I agree with you. We even say that on Yom Kippur. That we that God that we're the guy let God see the ashes of Yitzhak.
And Rashi quotes it, Reuven. Rashi quotes Bahar Hashem Yireh. Why did Abraham call the place Hashem Yireh? God will see. That's what he called it. Hashem Yireh. Who knows Hebrew? What does Hashem Yireh mean? God will see, right? We'll see what? Says Rashi. Fasten your seatbelts. God will see Ephroi Shel Yitzchak Tzavur V'Omed Lekapara. What will God see? Ephro, Maze Ephro Shel Yitzchak. The ashes of Yitzchak. Maze Tzavur. Maze Tzavur. No, Tzavur. Tzadi Bet Vofresh. Tzavur. No, Tzavur means heaped up. Lekapara. What do you mean ashes of Yitzchak? Yitzchak never became ashes. What's Rashi talking about? Reuven told you. Since Yitzchak wanted to become ashes, in God's eyes, it's a done deal. So Hashem Yireh. Every Rosh Hashanah. When did the Akedah take place? When? Rosh Hashanah. Every Rosh Hashanah, God sees Yitzchak's ashes. He never became ashes. Since he wanted to, in God's eyes, on the anniversary of the Akedah, God sees the so-called ashes, in quote, and it gives us a kapara, and therefore it says Abraham returned alone. Even though Yitzchak had twin boys, dead people can't have twins. So obviously Yitzchak came back too, right? But in God's eyes, it's like he never came back. That's the message, yes?
I have one question though.
Only one, go ahead.
I'm going to leave all these ones. Tachas Beno, I think that's the word. The lamb was put beneath his son. What's that about?
Tachas means instead of. Vayalei ula ola tachat beno.
Actually also literally beneath? It can mean instead of. Yeah, like, ayin tachas ayin and all that.
Right.
It can also mean beneath, right?
It can be, but it has two meanings. Here it means, he brought the ram tachat beno. Here it means instead of his son. Tachat beno. Right? Ayin tachas ayin, an eye instead of an eye. What does that mean? Payment instead of, right?
Can I say add something, Rabbi?
Go ahead.
The whole idea is saying tachat beno, because there was a whole contention. Why is the whole Akedah to prove that Yitzchak was Israel Yoresh? Because when they started to go to the Akedah,
yeah,
Rabbi, it says, Shu lachem po.
Imachamor, you guys stay behind with the donkey.
I was Ishmael, and therefore they went together, Elchushneim Yachdah,
right,
like family.
But you know, the Quran says, who did he bring on the Akedah?
Ishmael.
The Quran has a little different version. They have a revisionist version. The Quran, revisionist.
That's why it continuously says,
right. But now, let me, okay, right. But now I want to get to the punchline, yes? Okay.
Al-Kiddush Hashem.
That's the Korach HaGvura. Where do we get that Korach to die for Hashem? That Koach Allen came from the Gevurah of Yitzhak Avinu, right? That Koach to die for Kiddush Hashem, where do we get that Koach from? That strength, from whom? From Yitzhak Avinu. There's an amazing story of Tales of the Holocaust. Did you read this book? Eyewitness accounts, the Gevurah of a Jew. The Gevurah of a Jew. Do you hear? Two amazing stories there. Eyewitnesses saw this. The Germans invaded Poland. So the first thing, the Einstein group went to kill all the Jews, right? So they went to this one Polish city, one Polish village. And there the Gestapo found out that the mayor was a Geschmada Yid. Geschmat with papers, baptized, a nice Christian family, Catholic.
Made no difference.
Right?
Made no difference.
So they called him in, and they said, we know you're Jews. And what do you mean I'm a Jew? You see my baptism papers? And look at my nice Jew, Catholic kids. They all go to Catholic school, and my wife is a real Rebbetzin, you know, with the candles for the Virgin Mary. What do you mean? He says, we know you were born Jew. The only way we can prove to us that you are really a Catholic, Christian, you come with us to the shul, you open up the ark, you take out the Torah, you throw it down, and you start to urinate on it. Now, if you do that, then we'll believe that you are what? A Catholic. So he says, no problem. This is like a Geschmada Yid, but a nice Christian family, and the wife is a real, you know, a real Hasidist of the Virgin Mary, right? So they're walking to the shul. Ready, this is an eyewitness who saw this. Walking. He opens up the Oren Kodesh. He's about to take out the Torah, supposed to throw it on the ground and urinate on it. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. So the Gestapo agent, you know, takes out his pistol. He says, listen, what are you talking about? We're going to shoot you right here and now. Take out the Torah, throw it down, start the urinate on it. He says, I'm not going to do it. He says, thank you, Germans, that you are giving me back my Jewish identity. Mm-hmm. Thank you. They shot him right there in the head. So this guy was like a Geschmada Yid, Christian children, Yesh koinoy olamoy b'sho achat. Know what that means? Person can acquire one moment.
In one moment.
So all of his sins wiped out. He said, thank you, Germans, for giving me back my Jewish identity. I'm not going to do it. They shot him right there. He had a one-way ticket to Olam Haba. Where did that Gevurah come from? A Geschmada Yid, it came from Yitzchak Avinu. Another story, this is eyewitnesses. There was a capo in Auschwitz. A capo, a real, what a capo.
A traitor
to the Jewish, you know, but a born Jewish. And there was a rabbi there in the Auschwitz. And the rabbi asked him if on Yom Kippur, he gives out the work details, if they can give him an easier work detail, that they shouldn't have to be Mechala Yom Kippur, and give him extra food, Erev Yom Kippur. And amazingly, the capo agreed. He agreed to give them light work on Yom Kippur, wouldn't be after Mechala Yom Kippur, and to get them extra rations Erev Yom Kippur. So the rabbi's amazed. This guy was a royal Russia, a real capo Russia. All of a sudden, he's giving them extra rations Erev Yom Kippur, and he's giving them light work on Yom Kippur. What's going on with this capo? So, they have Kol Nidre in the Auschwitz, you know, secretly there, and the capo's protecting them. It's amazing with them. The next morning, roll call. The Nazis come in on you know, their motorcycles. Right about to line up, this group over here, and they come with trays of hot food, the Nazis. And they say that you have to eat today. These are all religious Jews. Like Dafke came to from you. If you don't eat today, we're going to shoot you. The people don't know what to do. I mean, if Puach Nefesh, they eat on Yom Kippur, Puach Nefesh, the capo steps forward. He says, Mein Kommandant, today is our Yom Kippur. We don't eat on Yom Kippur. So the rabbi almost faints. He says, it's our Yom Kippur. This kapo, this Russia, who left the Jewish people. He says, sorry, Commandant, today is our Yom Kippur. We don't eat on Yom Kippur. So the Commandant thought he's off the wall. What are you talking about? You are one of our people. So he takes out his pistol. He says, listen, you have to eat, otherwise I'll shoot you and everybody here. He says, I'm sorry, today is our Yom Kippur. We don't eat on Yom Kippur. He cocks his pistol. One last chance, the commandant says. If you don't eat this food now, I'm going to shoot you. He says, today is our Yom Kippur. We don't eat on Yom Kippur. He shot him in the head, killed him on the spot, then he left. Yesh koinoy alomai b'sha'ach. So he saved all of them. Where does this gevura come from? Eyewitnesses. This is Yitzchak Avinu's Akeda. No matter how far a Jew strays, the knot is never broken. It could be stretched, but a Jew is a Jew. Yes, you had a question?
Doesn't that allude to the ram caught in the thorns? Actually, he might be, a Jew might be caught in the Gentile world.
That's right. Excellent. But he's struggling to come back. Excellent. Now, after the Akedah, God says, Ato Yodati, now I know that you're a God-fearing man. That's what it says. Ato Yodati, God says, now I know that you are a God-fearing man. What do you mean, now I know? It doesn't say that, Rennie. It says, Ato Akshav, Ato with an ayin. Ato with an ayin. Ato Yodati, here it is, Debbie. God says, now I know that you're a God-fearing man. What's the $64 question?
You didn't know before?
Didn't know before? This is a very filous, very difficult verse. And all the Mepharshim, of course, struggle with this. What do you mean God says? God should have said, now you know what you're capable of. Right? The Ramban says, V'koyach al apoyel. Abraham was great, but he didn't know how great he was until he actualized the potential. So it should have said, now you know how great you are.
It doesn't say, now I know.
It says,
now I knew.
No, it says, Ato Yodati. Now I knew?
Now I knew.
Ato Yodati. Now I knew. But why do you say Ato? Ato means Akshav.
No, because I knew before, but now you know.
Now he knew.
But if you read the words literally, Ato Yodati, now I knew, or now I know. Ata with an ayin. Akshav. Ayudeya. Now I know. So this is a very major question. If God knows the future, right? So why is he saying now I know? Why is he saying now I know? Now I knew. Should have said then I knew. What do you mean, now I knew?
No, because now, I who knew then, now you know.
But
it
that doesn't.
Now.
Yeah, but that's very nice, Ren. He doesn't say that in the text.
Maybe that he knows now that he did know before, but he didn't realize he knew before.
I mean, God didn't realize. God knows everything. So this is a difficult question.
He didn't know then, but now he knows.
God didn't know then. Why doesn't God know the future?
No, he holds himself, doesn't he?
He
holds
the future.
He knows, but you have freedom of choice.
But how can you have freedom of choice if he knows the future?
God knows, but the human.
So the Ralbag says something amazing. The Ralbag. Please. The Ralbag says something amazing. Please. Please. We all live together in peace and brotherhood. Love, love, love. Who sang that? Okay, can we all get along? Who said that? I think Rodney King, right? He said, can we all just get along? Huh? Okay. So the Ralbag says something amazing. Emotion. Api Kabbalah, how did God create the universe? It's called Tzimtzum. Simpson's a Kabbalistic term. How did the universe come into being? God is everywhere.
He made room for it.
Excellent. God made room. In other words, Kaviyochel, God limited and restricted himself. He pulled in Kaviyochel. Otherwise, the universe could not exist. So all the Kabbalists agree that the way God created the world was through an act called Tzimtzum, which is translated as to limit himself, Kaviyochel, voluntarily restricted himself, pulled into himself, Kaviyochel, in order to allow the universe to exist. Otherwise, God's presence is so overwhelming, nothing else could exist. So the Rabbag, one of the Rishonim, and one of the Kabbalists says, that just like God practiced Tzimtzum to create the universe, God also practices Tzimtzum as far as the future of a person, as far as being a tzaddik or a rasha. In order not to infringe on our free will, God loves man so much that not to infringe, to influence our free will, to allow our free will to operate, God also practices Tzimtzum when it comes to whether we'll eat the cheeseburger or not. He purposely limits himself to allow our choice to work out. Because if he would see into the future how we would choose, then how could we choose otherwise? Right? So this is the Rabbag's great chidush. And with this he answers many questions in the Torah. Why was God grieved and upset when he had to destroy the people of the flood? Didn't he know the future that they're going to sin? And the Torah testifies God was grieved, anguished, upset, and mourned for them. Why did he do that? He knows the future. So Rabbag says again, God loves mankind so much that just like he practiced Tzimtzum by Briat Olam, he also practiced Tzimtzum by Bechira Chofshit. What does Bechira Chofshit mean? Free will. To allow a human being's free will to operate in the moral arena, God practices Tzimtzum, Kaviyochel, limiting and restricting himself not to know the future. So therefore, God says, Ata Yadati, now I know. Before, I didn't want to know how you're going to choose Abraham. Because then you couldn't choose otherwise. So by God limiting Kaviyochel and restricting his knowledge of how Abraham will choose, that gives Abraham the choice without any strings attached. So God could say, now I know. Before, I didn't want to know. Now I know.
Can I answer you something, Rabbi?
Go ahead. Ato Yadati.
First, when God commanded him, he thought maybe he had no choice. God says, do it, and I cannot refuse.
Yeah.
Give him an offer you can't refuse.
I give you an offer you can't refuse, right?
But then he saw that Avraham was really sincere. And
yeah.
Devoted. He was Toho Kevoro.
Nahon.
A fraud. He wasn't a fake. He wasn't a phony. He wasn't a charlatan who pretends that he's a Shomer Torah or Mitzvah.
Right.
And then he does not good stuff.
Excuse
After
me.
Right. Now I see that you didn't do it because I commanded
Nahon.
Because you are really...
And this is so beautiful. This point that the Rabbag is saying is so beautiful. Because when he first tells him, Ruvain, he says, Kachno, please take your son. Now read Rashi very carefully. God pleads with him. I beg you, please stand with me in this last test. What are you begging him for? You know the future. You know that he's going to pass. You know everything. Why does Rashi say, I beg you, Abraham, don't let me down now. Stand by this test. What are you begging him for? You know the end. But why does Rashi say, Vakasha mimcha? Omalai Kodesh Baruch Hu Avraham, Vakasha mimcha. I beg you, Amod li b'zua nesoyon. Why are you pleading with him so much? You know in the end that he's going to pass. Relax. Why is he pleading with Avraham? Please don't let me down. See the Rabbag's point? Because God, Kaviyochel, restricted himself. He didn't want to know the end. So I don't know how you're going to do, but I'm pleading with you, says Rashi. Ein lo loshen bakasha. Bakasha mimcha. Amod li bezua nisoyon. If Hashem knows that it'll pass, why plead with Abraham? Please don't let me down. Because kaviyochel, God practices tzimtzum voluntarily. Look how much God loves the human being, Moshe. That he's willing to practice tzimtzum, not to what? Influence or what? Regulate our free choice. That's how much God thinks of a human being. So therefore, he pleaded with Abraham Avinu, please don't let me down and do this for me. Wow.
And if you practice tzimtzum and he chose the wrong way.
And he chose the wrong way.
Yeah, then what would happen?
Then God would be disappointed.
That
no? You know, how do you say disappointed in Yiddish?
How do you disappointed.
I know. But there's one guy that didn't know how to say disappointed in Yiddish. And it really bothered him. He says, you know what? My mother speaks a perfect Yiddish. If anyone knows how to say disappointed in Yiddish, it'll be my mama. A Yiddish a mama. So he calls up his mother and he says, Ma, what would you do if I told you I'm coming for Friday night dinner and the last minute I cancel? How would you feel? Ich wurde gewein disappointed. Don't you get it?
That's true. Rabbi Shaddai, Hashem also wanted to convince Avraham Avinu that he has that freedom of choice. He pleased to listen to me, but he wanted Avraham himself to feel
it,
that he's making a choice.
That's right. That's right. Now, after the Akedah, it says Avraham returns to the boys waiting by the taxi stand. Vayelchu yachdav. And they walk together. Now keep in mind, no extra words in the Holy Torah. There's exactly 304,805 letters in the Torah scroll. So what do we have to know? When Avram came back to the boys waiting by the Chamor, it says, Vayelchu yachdav. They walked together to Be'er Sheva. I mean, thank you very much. You'll take the high road, I'll take the low road. Why is it important to know that Avram walked together with the boys back to Be'er Sheva? What's the message? Vayelchu yachdav. What's the message? You sitting down? Avram just came from a close encounter of the third kind. You imagine the awesome spiritual high that he just had. What an encounter with God. He could have walked down the mountain. You know, he sees the boys by the taxi stand. Step aside. Do you know what I have just done? Do you know where I've just been? You can't hold a candle to my shoelaces. Vayelchu yachdav. Avram, no airs about him. No bragging, no boasting. He went together with the boys, with the taxi driver. Didn't consider himself any better. That's what the Torah wants to convey to us. The Avraham Avinu was great despite his awesome spiritual greatness. Vayelchu yachdav. He walked with them and he conducted himself as he's one of the boys. No airs of arrogance or bragging. That's the chidush that the Torah what is conveying. Otherwise, why tell us Vayelchu yachdav? That's what the Torah wants to
he's humble.
This humbleness.
Humble.
Despite his awesome religious experience and the heights that he reached of spirituality, he went yachtav to them. He didn't act as he was superior to them.
Arrogance.
And that's what the Torah is pointing out over here by writing that. Now, what is another point of the Akedah? What is the point of the Akedah? That Avraham Avinu had to go through this awesome test. And Sarah struggle, right? The struggle that Sarah had to go through not having a child until she was what? 90. What's the point? Sarah's barrenness, Abraham almost losing his child. What does God want to torture us? Chas v'sholom. What's the message? So Rav Tzadik HaKohen says something amazing. He says, the message is that a Jew must never give up hope. Sarah was 90 years old. Right? She says, Shebinyan Auma Shel Am Yisrael Dafka Achayush HaGamur. The nation of Israel only existed when there was Yush Gomor. Who could a 90-year-old woman have a child? Or Yitzchak was promised to be the heir of the Jewish people. Now I have to kill him. So the message, says the Rav Tzadik HaKohen, is that dafke, when things look hopeless, that's when Hashem will help us. A Jew is never allowed to give up hope. Never fall into Yush. So that's why Abraham said, "Benushuva aleichem." Somehow we will return to you. A Jew must never give up hope, and therefore, even when it looks impossible, a Jewish state in 48, that looked impossible. A Jewish state in 48, and that America and Russia should, the height of the Cold War, Rav Soloveitchik points this out, Phyllis. In 1948 was the height of the Cold War. That America and Russia should vote on the same side was impossible. And yet America and Russia both voted for the state of Israel. So that's the message, that when things look impossible and we're ready to give up hope, that's exactly when Hashem will step in and save us. Never to be fall into Yush, never fall into despair. That is the message of the Akedah. And the message of the Six-Day War also looked hopeless, right? Right? That God only comes to help us when we think it's helpless. A Jew is never permitted to fall into despair and Yush. Any questions, comments?
What about the Nazi? How many perished there?
Okay, 6 million perished, but the Jewish people, you're right, the Jewish people survived though. Right? The Jewish people survived. Well, Soloveitchik makes that point. What you said in 1942, Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha in Boston. The Holocaust was raging in Europe.
Raging.
And the Jews in America were falling into Yush. Rav Soloveitchik said, you're not allowed to fall into Yush. The Jewish people will never be destroyed. We know we'll take Loyalenu many casualties and victims, but the nation as a whole will always survive. And we have to remember that a Jew is never allowed to fall into Yush. Despite the calamities and the tragedies, the Jewish people as a nation will always exist. And that is the message of the Akedah. And the message of a Jewish state in 48 against all odds. Any other questions and comments? Yes? What?
In Kiryat Sanz, behind Kiryat Sanz, they dug 30,000 graves expecting...
In Six-Day War. That's right. They're expecting at least 30, 50,000 casualties. What a miracle, right? What a miracle took place. In 1943 or 44, when Rommel was right outside of Cairo. Rommel. This is a true story. Rabbi Wein heard this from the Panovich who was there. The British in Palestine were burning all of their papers. They were evacuated because Rommel's going to come to Israel. You know what that means for the Yidden. The Panovich Sarav told the commander of the British army, you don't have to burn your papers. You don't have to evacuate. We have a promise that there will be no third destruction. There will be no third destruction. Rommel will never make it here. They thought he's out of his mind because nothing was stopping him. The very next day, a tremendous miracle where the British somehow from out of nowhere counterattacked, and Rommel at the last minute was stopped by the gate of Eretz Yisrael. Panovich Rebbe said, we have haftacha, there will be no third Harbin.
At that same time, Rabbi,
yeah,
the Russians were going into the north, didn't make it, so they couldn't invade Israel on the northern border, where Rommel was supposed to be on the southern border.
But every Jew here was going to be dead. The rabble comes in here. But the pun of it, right? Right.
North by Russia and rabble by the south.
Right. So Rav Kahaneman, pun of it, Sarav, told them, you don't have to worry, he's not coming here. And the next day, a miraculous defeat for the Rommel's army, the Desert Fox. The Desert Fox. So when Dafke, when things look hopeless, that's when he steps in. Thank you, yes?
Thank you.
Right.
He was trying to build the puzzle of the yeshiva.
That's right. That's right.
And someone told him, Rabbi, Rommel's so close. Are you dreaming? He says, yes, I'm dreaming, but I'm not asleep.
That's right. That's right. Thank you very much. Tada. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Taking it.
I want to eat it could be Nitzan.
What?
Because a Jew who married had a son by
Isn't
it true?
Right, but there were no Jews then, right? There were no Jews until Har Sinai. We
thank
forget
you,
that they were not Jews. Thank you. Regards to your husband. There were no Jews, right?
She was still an Egyptian.
Take care, Phyllis. Bye-bye.